Hey teammates, welcome to another episode of It's All About the Team. This is one of my favorites. I call it Back in the Huddle. About every 10 episodes, we have a chance to go back and take some highlights from each of the ones. And what's neat about, as I've talked with viewers and listeners, is that they're creating their own building a team library that they can go back to. The fun thing is this information we're learning from our guests is timeless. It's great examples that we can reach back to now or in the future. And so today's episode of Back in the Huddle is going to highlight our last 10 episodes. And we're going to begin with the topic of compounding teams. Those of you in business know all about compounding money. You invest and it keeps building on top of one another and it compounds as you go. And the same is true as you're building your program or your team over the long haul. The investments that you make into building that culture, into building that team, they can continue to grow on top of one another. Now, we didn't plan to have a little mini series of the New England Patriots, but it just so happened that we had the good fortune to have Nate Ebner in one of our early episodes, and then Nate did a great job of going out and having an episode as a guest co-host with Matthew Slater. And then we had a chance to visit with Josh McDaniels, who had been on Coach Belichick's staff for many, many years. And so I'd like to start with a soundbite that Nate and Matthew are talking a little bit about competitive stamina to continue to compound and build on that team. How do you continue to have the stamina to be competitive and to build culture? Let's take a look.
You know, I heard this term used by Josh McDaniels once. I really learned when I got here the idea of competitive stamina. Day after day, putting your best foot forward and just attacking that day as its own and trying to, you know, master that day. We did that here better than anybody for a long time. Mm-hmm. And culturally, I think that really sustained us for many years.
Yeah.
So continuing with the Patriots theme a little bit, and not many teams have 7 Super Bowl championships. And so let's hear from Josh McDaniels, who has a little bit of a quote back from his episode on building that team and making sure you compound that team culture and it being important who's doing that investing. Let's listen.
He never wanted himself to be treated differently than the other guys. And that's the way he behaved in the building, in the locker room, on the field. And he bought in to, if we think that this is what's best for the team to win championships, because ultimately that was clear that that was our goal. Robert, Bill had explained that very clearly, that our goal was to win championships and represent the organization the right way in the community. And so I think that Tom bought into that. And as you know, when your best people buy into the vision and the process that you're actually utilizing to achieve the vision, now you have a chance to have something special. Mm-hmm. You know, because when the best guy does it, there's a lot of guys that, you know, just by default, because they're looking up to him so much and they want to emulate what he's doing, whether it's off season, in season, routine, on the practice field, game day, how he handles himself with the media.
Yeah.
You know, how he takes care of his body, the fact that he's always there and available for the team. There was no greater example than Tom Brady. And, you know, and because he was there and so consistent in his approach, you know, there were so many other players that just when they came in and saw that, mm-hmm. there wasn't a whole lot of having to convince everybody if those guys, and Tom was not alone.
Right.
We had an army of them. He right. was just absolutely the best player and, you know, at the most important position.
Coach McDaniels had a great opportunity to be a big part of that Patriot way. Let's go back and listen to 2 other guys involved in the special teams making a difference, Nate Ebner and Matthew Slater.
When you talk about process and you talk about passion, individually that helps you fall in love with football, but everything that has to do with football and that comes with it, because you know, we play 17 games a year, but that's 17 days out of 365.
Right.
There's a lot of other stuff that goes into it. How important is it not only for an individual to have that passion for everything and that's involved in process and the game itself, but also to have a team that's built with a bunch of players that share that passion?
I mean, that's huge. To me, passion is what sustains you, right? Like you think about emotion and other things, those things come and go, but passion is something that really burns inside of you and sustains you. Mm-hmm. And when you're in the grind, it's that passion that compels you and refocuses you. And if you can bring a group of guys with that shared passion together, chasing after one thing, and we got to experience it,
yes,
then really you can't be stopped.
Right.
And you know, I think about like the culture we live in now. Everything's like instant gratification. Like,
yes.
I hit a button, I get this.
Yep.
I do that. I order Uber Eats, whatever it is. But for an athlete, again, you have to have something that's going to sustain you, because there is no instant gratification, especially in football.
Yep.
And passion, I think, is huge when it comes to like year in and year out grinding through the process of football.
Would you agree that passion might be the number one factor that allows people to sustain that level of play for that long?
No question. You know, I talk about it with Coach Mayo all the time. The number one trait that he wants in his guys here are guys who love the game.
Yeah.
And I think if you have that as a foundational piece, like, you can really build from there.
That's awesome.
It was obvious in that last clip that shared passion by everyone within the organization sharing in that mission, that vision. Now let's kind of shift to the business world, and let's hear from Rob Cochran as he talks about how do we create that story, that vision, that shared mission over time so that we can all work to create that culture of compounding that team effect.
So the people understand that there's something bigger than just what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it starts, to me, my experience, it starts with a story. Here's where we're trying to go. And the better you become, and I've worked over the years at it, the better you become at telling that story. And the more clear that story, the more people can buy in both with their heads and their hearts to that story, you begin to get more followers or more people buying in. So I think there was a period of where people in that first decade were, what's this kid gonna do? Is he gonna make it? A percentage of them, you know, I'm not naive to think 100% were behind me, but I had a large enough percentage of people saying, I get it, I'm in, where are we going? And that was a threshold, and there were a couple strategic things that happened. That department store, we relocated again. That was a big move for us. And that put us in position to begin to acquire other dealerships. So it was a 10 or 12 year period of a lot of movement of myself, you know, some maturity and perseverance, just working through people, getting the right fit of people to move to another level. And then it was, here's what we're about. And we've got enough people to know what we're about. Let's go try to repeat this and duplicate this in other environments.
One thing that Rob Cochran made very obvious there is that we all have to understand it's bigger than just us, bigger than the owner or the head coach or the coordinator or whomever. It's all about the team, and it's bigger than just its effect on us. And having that understanding of what our championship is, you know, what are the goals we have set? Obviously, as you listen to Coach McDaniels, he talked about they wanted to win the championship, but they wanted to represent the community. As you listen to Rob Cochran, obviously they want to do a great job of providing people with one of their largest personal purchases outside of their home, their car, but they also wanted to be a big part of the community. We can't undersell that at all. I know our teams at Youngstown State and Ohio State, once they understood that it was bigger than just what it brought to us individually, that's when we really had a chance to build team, and to reach our potential. So our first topic was the compounding of team, that creating that compounding of building that culture. Now let's move to consistency. One of my favorite quotes was a quote that I got from Dr. Patrick Spurgeon, who was a longtime mentor. He used to always say, the test of greatness, the hallmark of excellence, is consistency. Can you keep doing it at a high level? One of the guys that did it at the highest level that I'm so proud of is Coach Mark D'Antonio. Coach D'Antonio did a great job on our staff at Youngstown State, went on and moved to the University of Kansas and on to Michigan State, and then came back with us when we went to Ohio State. Then after 3 years with us at Ohio State, he went on and became the head coach at the University of Cincinnati. He did an extraordinary job there and then went on to Michigan State. And we're so proud of the fact that here in December, Coach D'Antonio will be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Let's hear from Coach D'Antonio.
One of the most incredible things is that we had 9 coaches, and I brought 8 of them with me.
And from Cincinnati to Michigan State.
Yeah. Yep. And I retained the strength coach who had been with Nick for 5 years, and the trainer, both trainers had been with Nick for 5 or 6 years. So I knew people, and I knew the background, and you know, I brought my people, again, going back to when we talked to our people, because they were researchers. They had proven themselves to me. And then I retained one guy, Dan Enos, who had been with me for 2 years previous, before he came to Michigan State. So we basically had the whole system intact. So it was a very quick transition. We knew what we wanted to run. We knew the terminology. We knew how we wanted to treat people. We knew our goals weren't just about football. They were other things. And so there was a great opportunity there.
One thing that gave Coach D'Antonio a chance to have that consistency was he did a great job of selecting his staff and keeping his staff. He had, I think, 8 of his 9 coaches went from Cincinnati on to Michigan State. He had a lot of longtime coaches. He lost a coach here or there. Pat Narduzzi became the head coach at Pitt. But Coach D'Antonio did a great job of keeping his staff together and creating that consistency with the same voices for a long period of time. Speaking of consistency, let's hear from Cameron Hayward, who is in his 14th year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we all know the consistency of the Rooney family with their ownership. I think they've had 3 head coaches in the last 50 years or something like that. Cameron talks a little bit about the consistency in the defensive staff. Let's hear from Cam talking about the Pittsburgh Steeler way.
I think they value consistency. And, you know, some of these teams, it's a new head coach every year.
Yeah.
And I think that's not only hard from a front office standpoint, it's harder for, you know, a team standpoint. It's hard living up to the expectations of what your coach is setting year in and year out when, you know, you could be just setting the way the last coach set it.
It is amazing that Cameron Hayward has had only 2 defensive line coaches and 3 defensive coordinators in a 14-year period in the NFL. That doesn't happen in every organization. That's why Pittsburgh has been so consistent.
So how many different position coaches have you had since you've been in the NFL?
I've had 2.
That's it.
John Mitchell, he actually coached in Cleveland as well.
Yep.
And then now I have Carl Dunbar, and he's coached a lot of places and had a lot of success.
So how about how many different D coordinators?
I've had 3 defensive coordinators.
Dick LeBeau was your first?
Yep. And then Keith Butler, who was the inside linebackers coach and outside linebackers coach, who then went on to be the defensive coordinator. And then now we have our Coach Austin.
As we continue to talk about consistency, I want to bring in a clip from a dear friend of mine, Mark LaMancha. He's in the manufacturing world. And what's interesting is that consistency in your leadership team, whether it's in the NFL, college football, or on the manufacturing floor, that's the key. What would you say the evolution in the last 5 years, let's say you got it under, you know, you got it going, don't have much turnover now, okay, which is a good thing. So sustainability of excellence, you know, we always talk about that, you know, the test of greatness and the hallmark of excellence is consistency. Can you keep doing it? What's been the key, and how's that sustainability and consistency of the approach going?
Empowering, you know, the production coaches that run our facilities is the key, you know, and you can do that with about 6, maybe up to 10 people. And one of them that came from a large company, you know, in a slight downturn that they were let go, and they came and they stayed. And they journaled to see that I was going to be consistent, because there are incentive plans all over the United States. But typically what happens is, as soon as people improve their rate, then they change the rate. They do an industrial engineering study and say, well, if you can get 12, then you can get 14. And then the company keeps the money on the table. Well, I'm the gatekeeper of that system. And the rate will not change unless the customer asks for a new quote. And they were watching that. They were watching that for that consistency. And so as he stayed, Brian stayed, and he became a production coach of the facility. He's continuously, including on jobs where they think that they've reached the limit, he'll take that job over and show them, not for the personal, just to increase their internal competitiveness, not to think they've hit the law of the lid, and show them how much further they could actually go.
One thing I know for sure about Mark LaMancha is he held himself accountable to that consistency. I think it's so important for us as leaders to make sure that we're consistent, so that consistency and accountability we're asking for from our team, they have a chance to actually see that in us. We've talked about that compounding of that team, that compounding of the culture, that continual building of it. We've talked about consistency. And we've also talked about the fact that it's bigger than just our entity. One of our great guests was the new head coach of the Youngstown State Lady Penguins, Melissa Jackson. And the first thing that really popped into her mind in the first couple months she spent on campus and around the community was the value of the community for her program. She was amazed at how much our community was invested in us. One thing I always felt as a head coach at Youngstown State or at Ohio State, I knew that the community was a huge part of it. And we could feel it, we could feel their vibes, but we also felt like we didn't want to let them down. Let's listen to Coach Jackson. I know all about the tradition of our basketball program, and I think we have one of the best followings in terms of attendance.
Yes.
In mid-major.
Yep.
And the people that love Lady Penguin basketball are unbelievable. And tell me what that kind of support does to a team.
Oh, I think it's just contagious. I think, for our players, it's so cool for them to walk out in Beagley Arena and see just the unbelievable support and actually fans in the stands. And then, you know, we'll go to some other, you know, Horizon League schools, and there might be a handful of people, you know, in the arenas. And so I think they're really grateful for the support that is here at Youngstown. And, so it's great for our current team. It's great for future Penguins, you know, for us to talk about that. And, and then it's not just, you know, them coming to watch the games. You know, a lot of our fans and our supporters, you know, will come and watch practice. They'll actually be involved in our players' lives and ask them, okay, what are you majoring in, and you know, how can I help you for life after basketball? And so I think it's next level. You know, it's not just the fan support. And so I've been, again, amazed by our community and the people that are behind, you know, women's basketball here.
Continuing on the theme of the importance and the value of the community, Alexa Blacon Sweeney, who's the new economic development director in the Lake to River region, Northeast Ohio, knows for sure the importance of the community. To create an economic development plan, there's got to be a lot of people working together. There's got to be a lot of collaboration. There's got to be folks willing to do for one another. Let's listen to Alexa talk about the importance of that community.
And the thing that gives me the most amount of hope is the support we have in the community that you described, where if you call someone and ask for help, they're excited to help. People are calling us, bringing us their supply chain members, bringing us their business partners. We talked about Corollas earlier in the day. You know, people are looking for projects and looking for opportunities, and they want to see the community succeed. So that gives me the most amount of hope. They believe in us, right? And they're committed to making sure we succeed. So when we're all committed to that same goal, we can't fail.
As you think about you being a part of your community, yes, you have your team or your business or your organization or your family that you're trying to build into the team and to reach their potential and to have that consistency. But think about, too, what you can do for the overall greater good of the community. Again, once our teams at university realized that it was bigger than us, that we needed to see what joy we could bring communities, what impact, what example we could bring the community, we became better at what we did, and that was so important. And speaking of community, we thank our community of viewers. We're so appreciative of people that have the desire and the passion to build teams, that really believe that it's all about the team. In this me generation, and I'm not sure it's just today, I think humans have always been focused a little bit on themselves. It takes intentionality to think about the team, to think about the group. And it really takes intentionality to study how I can do a better job of being a part of a team or building a team. So we really appreciate your viewership, your comments. We've learned a lot from some of the things you've reached out and told us, so don't hesitate to do that. And we're looking forward to the next set of 10 episodes. And until we're back in the huddle, we've got folks like Malcolm Jenkins, a two-time Super Bowl winner. He played for us at Ohio State and then won the Super Bowl at the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. And we have with us Dan Hurley. Speaking of championships, Dan Hurley won the last two. He and his UConn Huskies won the last two national championships in men's basketball. We've got Dr. Hazel Marie, who's the director of our engineering competition teams at Youngstown State University, coming on to talk about how do you build teams of engineers. Really a fun episode. We've got Steve Steinhauer coming on, the CEO of Huntington Bank. And so we've got a lot of great episodes coming up. We appreciate you viewing in. We hope that you put this in your team library and you study this for months and years to come. Until next time, don't forget, it's all about the team.